This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. The statistics surrounding the dairy industry in Vermont over the last decade or so have been pretty dismal. Falling milk prices have led to more and more small dairy farms calling it quits in Vermont. We've gone from about 27,000 farms 100 years ago to about 700 dairies today. But there is some celebrating going on this year. Both the Cabot Creamery Cooperative and the St. Albans Cooperative Creamery are celebrating their 100th anniversaries, which made us wonder what was going on in Vermont dairy back in 1919. Former Vermont Secretary of Agriculture Roger Albee chronicles the history and explains just how much Vermont's dairies have had to adapt to make it to their centennial anniversary in 2019.
100 years ago was a very interesting time in the history of Vermont as well as the history of the United States. Beginning in the late 1800s, you had a great deal of attention to big corporations, steel and oil, and Teddy Roosevelt breaking up the trust at that time. You had the Grange coming on the scene, which became a very active organization for change. They took on the railroads with railroad rates. They took on advocating for cooperatives for producers in this country. You had Wilson after that creating a North American commission of people from almost every state, including a Vermonter, that in 1913, in a three-month period, toured throughout Russia and Europe and Egypt and Scandinavia to investigate ag cooperatives and rural credit, and they came back and made a report. And you had Vermont, which up until the early 1900s was pretty much the butter capital of the United States. St. Albans producing more butter than any place in the United States at that time. And then all of a sudden, the farmers were lured to supply fluid milk to Boston and the cities, and became very difficult for farmers to get paid a reasonable price. And against that backdrop, basically, people like the Grange or organizations like the Grange, and then beginning in the 1900s, the Farm Bureau Federation became real activists for creating farmer co-ops. And in 1919, you had two of them being created in Vermont, the Cabot Cooperative Creamery and the same Albans Cooperative Creamery, because the farmers decided they really needed to work together to have the ability to get a better price in the market.
And how did the co-ops do that, Roger? How did they provide a better price? And did they do anything else that benefited the farmers who became members?
They worked together. They pooled their capital. They developed new products. They eventually were protected because of federal law on antitrust, meaning they could work together and agree on prices without being challenged for antitrust. So they developed joint marketing arrangements, and basically by pooling their resources and capital, they were able to negotiate for better prices in the market.
So were there other cooperatives being formed at the time as well that just haven't made it to the 100-year mark?
Yeah, there were other cooperatives being formed around that time. Many of them don't exist today. Some do nationally, some you know of. Like Land O'Lakes and cooperatives like that. In Vermont today, however, on the dairy side, there's only one cooperative, St. Albans, that actually has its headquarters in Vermont. Cabot Cooperative, which was formed in 1919, merged with Agrimark Cooperative in 1992. And they're headquartered actually in Methuen, Massachusetts. Like many businesses today, the cooperatives have been forced to consolidate, to reorganize, and in many cases become large. The largest dairy cooperative now in the country is Dairy Farmers of America, which does have members in Vermont.
So what do the cooperatives do now? The same thing, or have they adjusted what they actually give to their members?
They've had to adjust over time, of course, in terms of building new facilities and developing new products. Cabot, of course, is known for its cheese. St. Albans Cooperative ships cream to Ben & Jerry's, which I think most people in the United States know of, and they also supply milk to Commonwealth Yogurt or Green Mountain Yogurt down in Brattleboro. So they're quite well known for what they do. But to some extent, they're under siege in the marketplace because farmers today, even though they are members of a cooperative, the pricing system that the cooperatives operate under is antiquated and depends upon a system that doesn't provide back the price they need to survive.
You mentioned that Vermont was at one time the kind of the butter capital of the United States. And of course, even before that, before we had made a
Merino
shift to dairy,
sheep.
Yeah, we were at this sheep farming state.
That's right. Yeah.
So in terms of where things are going now, I mean, we're not the capital of anything anymore, but we still have, you said in crisis, but still a somewhat robust dairy industry in Vermont. Where do you see the dairy industry going?
We have very many successful dairy farmers, both organic and conventional, that operate in Vermont. I think the strength of the Vermont dairy industry, I think, going forward, is its brand. Years ago, when Commonwealth Dairy wanted to come to Vermont, the individual who wanted to create it called me one day when I was ag secretary, and he said, "Why should I come to Vermont?" And I said, "I'll give you four good reasons." I said, "The first is that we have the milk supply. The second is we have the brand. The third is you're close to major markets, New York, Boston, other major metropolitan markets. And the fourth is that we'll make it happen." So we have a brand, whether it's Ben & Jerry's or Cabot or other products like that. We are winning awards for some of the best artisanal cheeses in the world, with Jasper Hill and others like them. So we have a brand that I believe has great value in the market. In fact, the old-timers who saw the loss of the Merino sheep industry and then eventually the loss of the butter market when Vermont became a fluid milk state said, you know, Vermont's future is never competing with the West on a commodity basis. It's always developing those products that the consumers and the growing markets of the Northeast will want.
I heard something like 60 or 70% of all of the fluid milk consumed in New England comes from Vermont dairies. Is that still true?
A great deal. The percentage, I believe, has changed. But the recent statistics that the Agency of Ag has been putting forth is that 60% of the milk now manufactured in Vermont is utilized in some fashion in Vermont, whether it's making the Cabot cheeses or for Ben & Jerry's or artisanal cheeses. So less is going to the fluid market. To some extent, that's good, even though it's painful, because the fluid milk consumption in the United States is declining very, very quickly, has been for some time. And the whole pricing system that dates back to 1937 under the Ag Adjustment Act was predicated on fluid milk being the higher priced product. So if the pricing system is changed, and many of us hope it will be to reflect the changes going on in the marketplace, I think Vermont will have a very bright future with its dairy industry.
So if you are still alive in 100 years, do you expect to be celebrating the 200th anniversary of these co-ops, or do you think we'll have a different system by then?
Maybe the co-ops in their current name may change to some extent. There's always a great deal of consolidation that takes place in businesses today. The co-ops need capital from their members to survive longer term, and farmers are very capital deficient in many ways, especially today with the changes in the marketplace. So you may not see the co-ops in the current function or name as such, but I think you will see the products being developed by an entity that can that includes farmers as members.
We are marking these 100th anniversaries of two co-ops. And when you think about the contributions that the St. Albans Cooperative and the Cabot Cooperative have made to New England and New York dairy and Vermont dairy, what do you think they are? What are the highlights?
Oh, I think tremendous. I mean, if you look at even St. Albans, at one time they were the major supplier of fluid milk to Stop and Shop back in the 50s and 60s and early 70s, and what they're doing today with Ben & Jerry's. And then you think of Cabot in terms of its contribution with the cheeses and at one time butter and other products. I think in people's mind going forward and going back, these two cooperatives have been at the center of trying to meet the needs of the consumers in the emerging markets, and their products speak to that.
Roger Albee is the former Secretary of Agriculture, Food and Markets for Vermont. Thank you very much for talking about the history of dairy and these two cooperatives with us.
Thanks, Jane. It's been a pleasure.
And I should note for listeners, Cabot Creamery is a VPR underwriter.